futures. And for the last 5 years at Fox and the last 6 years of my life, it's been very simple. Ah, Kansas City Chiefs win Super Bowl. I don't know why, man. Call it a hunch. Call it a gut feeling. I think this is the best team yet for Josh Allen. He's clearly at his best level off the MVP. For the first time in my life, hand on heart, I have made a bet on the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl.
That's Sammy P. Earlier on this week, he said it. Bills, it's the year. It's finally going to happen. Don't know if they're going to have to take out the Chiefs. They probably will. Maybe the Ravens as well, a team that we also broke down today. But Sammy is saying it a week before the season gets going that it is going to be the Bills' year. Welcome back, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Kind enough to join us to talk about the Buffalo Bills, our buddy Mike Shope from Shope and the Bulldog, WGR, out in Buffalo, another Odyssey station. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
My pleasure. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
When you hear somebody pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl, what's your reaction?
I mean, a few things. There's a little bit of a tingle, right? I mean, a top tout doing so, not just your mom. So that's cool. It's never happened. So there's that, sort of the I don't know, is the word ethos, kind of like the culture in Buffalo is not that everybody's this way, but you sort of expect the worst. You expect the pain, ultimately, the Bills and the Sabres, no championships. So, of course, it'd be historic. It's also, you know, you could say fitting because the stadium is in its last year. They have marquee home games against Baltimore, week one, Sunday night. Philadelphia, Kansas City is back here. Famously, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season 4 years in a row, and the Bengals. So it'll be a memorable year here, to put it mildly.
But they go 8-0 last year. They go 8-0 at home last year, the first time that happened since 1990. What is your realistic expectation for their performance at home? Because obviously, it goes without saying that that's tough to back that up.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't win all four of those games, right? I mean, those are incredible matchups right away. I mean, the opener is a near pick 'em. They're favored in every other game, if not also in the opener. I mean, New Orleans comes in, and the division is considered weak. The division will be the tipping point for the, you know, the discourse this regular season. New England's schedule is so embarrassingly bad. Like, if they're good at all, they'll be at least 8-5. Getting into December. I mean, at least if they're any good at all. And if they're a little better than that, then you're in a race at least as the Bills. So that'll keep things interesting. I mean, you can't ever expect a team to go undefeated at home for a whole season. I've talked to you guys enough times, and any over under where it's 11.5 or higher, I have to really fight my instincts to go over, like on anybody, just because the randomness, injuries, all kinds of different variables. But, you know, everybody sort of it's perfectly reasonable to see this team the same way as a year ago. And last year they clinched the AFC East on December 1st.
If I were to make a number, nobody is doing this. No books are doing this. If I were to make a divisional wins number though, and say it's 4.5, I'd have to make the over very expensive, right? It's either an expensive over on 4.5 at like -200. Or dare I go to 5.5 and make the under -200? Like, I think 5 is the perfect number, but I don't know if I would open 4.5 or 5.5. The expectation, though, Mike, is they win at least 5 games in this division, right?
I mean, you're right on it. They have the Week 18 game in the division every year, and like they lost that game last year to Joe Milton, so that could screw up your plans if you're betting overs, you know, like that in the division. That's the Jets at home this year to close the stadium, red helmets. Maybe like last year, Josh Allen plays one play. I don't know. It'll depend, of course, on what their postseason outlook is. I'd have the same instinct on over 5.5 or, you know, in a situation like that. I couldn't do it. 5-1 I would sign for right now. New England might be good. The Bills have completely owned the Dolphins, but they've stumbled against the Jets. Sometimes if you consider the Jets live, I don't know, 4-2 isn't, listen to me, right? I mean, What, look at our lives in Buffalo these days with the Bills in terms of the regular season in the division, at least. 4-2 doesn't sound good at all.
With these top teams in the AFC, we've gone over it the last couple of days, and they all clearly got better. Like, I'm looking at the Chiefs offensively. We know the Rice suspension that comes down yesterday. They're better overall, at least potentially. We'll see if the left tackle, the rookie, is going to be good. The Ravens defense, probably going to be much improved. The Bills defense looks to be much improved. On paper, all three of those teams are better. But asking about the Bills specifically, what is their weakness going into the regular season?
It's got to be, I think, Joe, the secondary. We all knew their one position to address in the draft was corner opposite Christian Benford. Kind of amazingly, for a team that was that 32 takeaways, third in the league last year, Rasul Douglas, who was kind of a playmaker type at corner, had no interceptions. Like, he didn't really make a play for them at all. They let him go. They brought back Trey White, and he's had an injury-riddled last few years. I don't know what that's going to be. Then he got hurt in practice late last week, and he's iffy for the opener. And Max Hairston, their first-round pick corner, is out for at least 4 games. So there's that. And I think Sean McDermott has even said it. There are questions about the Bills at safety next to Taylor Rapp. It might be DeMar Hamlin. They have a second-round pick from last year in Cole Bishop, but he isn't really established yet. They brought back Jordan Poyer yesterday for the practice squad. Like, I don't know. Secondary's got to be it. They poured so much capital into the defensive line again. I mean, they've done this before. And I think they might need to be a team defensively that can, consistently create pressure, or they could be vulnerable. And we'll find out, pretty quick with the Ravens here what that's going to look like, especially if White misses.
Oh, that could be a fun game. If that secondary isn't as good as people understand, Sunday, December 7th, what's the total on Cincinnati and Buffalo?
Depends on the weather.
I guess you're right. As I say that, it could be 30 degrees and snowing, so I guess we don't really know. I wanted to ask you about receiver, because Joe had asked me what's a weakness, and I don't know that it's a weakness, but they don't have that first-round fantasy guy, right? They don't have Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. They don't have that guy. But I look at this number on Keon Coleman, and if they take the governor off and let him go, I think it could be a decent year there. 750.5 yards. Is that number too high, too low, or just right?
I don't think it's too low. I mean, they have every incentive to feed Coleman, I guess. I mean, it's not going to be like the players you mentioned, as you said, but that's where they should want to, put their chips. We talk about wide receiver every day on WGR. The GM, the day after the draft, famously called in and was hot about how many times he has to hear about what he hasn't done in wide receiver. And his line later that week was, how can people say I haven't addressed wide receiver? I signed Joshua Palmer. And I cringed. I mean, I cringed. Like, really? That's your position? However, it's hard to call it a weakness when they just set a franchise record for points with Mac Hollins leading the team in receiving touchdowns and Curtis Samuel hurt all season. I mean, Coleman had his moments. He also had an injury. Amari Cooper looked washed. What was it? You had Khalil Shakir, who established a pretty good floor. I mean, I think lots of sharp people, I think, are betting on Coleman. He has his flaws as a player. Can he separate? It'll be up to the Bills to open that up. Last year, they were extremely efficient running the ball. They ran for 30 touchdowns. James Cook put down 16 rushing touchdowns after 2 years of having two. So that, and of course, you have Allen. So that was more, if you will, their identity on offense. If they're forced into more of a passing offense, which I'd love to see, then Coleman is the number one name. And yeah, I think I would probably take the over there because of those variables. They don't run the ball as easily. Maybe some tougher opponents, weather, who knows. Cook is not going to rush for 16 touchdowns again. Coleman is the one. I think more people are talking about him than anyone else in their receiver core as someone who could or should pop.
So I keep looking at, when I'm looking for a Bills bet, I keep going back to James Cook. And he goes from 2 rushing touchdowns to 16. So what do they do with the number this year on the season-long prop? 8.5. What do you think when I say 8.5 rushing touchdowns for James Cook?
I'd have to go under. I mean, that's what a number, right? What a dare that is. They did sign him. He played 44.7% of the snaps and ran for 16 touchdowns. Come on. Whoa. You might think that they'll use him more often because now they have a longer-term investment, but I think that could easily work the other way. Now, I don't think they'd use him less often, but, you know, you have positive game scripts as a team as good as this, and here come your rushing touchdowns. And I do think also, I guess I'm making the case for both sides, but one of these days, Allen's number is going to come down. I mean, he is 29 now. People draw Cam Newton comparisons based on his style of play. He has 67 rushing touchdowns for his career. That's more than OJ. That's more than Thurman Thomas. I mean, it's like it's the franchise record. He's 29. Eventually that comes down, but it's hard for me to bet. I would have lost the house last year betting this over 8.5 touchdowns for James Cook. And he doubled it pretty much. So I don't think I could go over there, but they did. You're right. They did put the number at a place where it really is. That's what makes it so much fun stuff.
We did talk about this last week with Bulldog. His rushing touchdown number, it's 10.5, and it seems high, but then you look at the last 2 years and it's 15 and 12.
Yeah.
So again, not a big sample size, two seasons. I mean, big enough, but not like the end all be all. I just think he's, and I told Bulldog this, I think Josh, in the most respectful way I can say this, is such a psycho around the five that he's still of that mindset that I'm going to get in, I'm going to get mine. And until I see that change, I'm not betting that under 10.5.
Yeah, that's fair. It depends on what kind of season they're having too. I mean, he still got, was it 15 2 years ago, you said? Or 12,
yep,
15, whatever it
and then
was.
12.
That season, the mandate was to rein that in, not touchdowns per se, but his rushing. And, you know, before the season, they were talking about how they want him to slide more. And Brandon Bean said something like, you know, if it's week two, maybe make a different choice, that kind of thinking. And then they were 6-6 and fired their offensive coordinator. I'm like, all right, you know, screw that. And, you know, he went crazy after that. So I think if they have an easier year, maybe that number is tempered some. And I'd want to correlate that, I think, even though last year that was an easy year and he still got to double digits. 10.5, still 11. Well, that's such a big number for a quarterback. He keeps doing it. His rookie year, he ran for some number like 7 or 8. And I remember betting with my friends, like, there's just no way he's going to do that again. And look at what's happened. I mean, Martin Galing, Allen's under on rushing touchdowns would be, you know, I'd be in the poorhouse, you know, and so would everybody I know, probably my family, be bad.
With Mike Schoeb, WGR, talking about the Buffalo Bills. Mike, I do want to squeeze in some fantasy stuff. I know it's a passion. We're always amazed how many leagues that you're in. Is there a specific player or two that you keep on drafting that you've said he's going to break out? I don't care that I'm taking him much higher than ADP. I want this guy on as many teams as possible. Any players that stand out when I ask that question?
Yeah, lots of them. I think this is such a fun year for the young running backs, first and second year guys. Last year busted. Nobody liked last year's running back class. And then you had that plus all those veteran running backs up top staying healthy. So there was no room for like a Trey Benson in Arizona. You can't really, if you're drafting a lot, you can't, as you'll know, get Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson all the time. I mean, it depends on where you're picking. When you get to the end of the first round, it's really flush with receivers and even like Gentry or McCaffrey. Like, you can do a lot of different things. The guys I'm loading up on, though, are all like your second half of the draft, first, second year running backs. Bashal Tuten is a hot one this year out of Jacksonville. A lot of these tournaments too reward end of the season production. The money weeks are the playoff weeks, and you're more likely to draft a rookie. You're more likely to draft a Tuten over a ETN on the chance that late in the season he's on the field. Keaton Mitchell has been one of my favorite late round. Now he's more mid round running back dart throws too in Baltimore because he's been so good when he's played. He's had a bad injury in the preseason. He looked great. There are lots of those guys, Breshard Smith in Kansas City. I mean, these are not household names at all, but that's what I'm trying to do. And I would say more, you know, interestingly, probably earlier in drafts, I check my fantasy exposures every once in a while. And it's really kind of incredible to me that my top two owned tight ends would be McBride and Bowers, who are the first two off the board. Like, I obviously, yeah. I've been investing heavily there.
All right, very good. Mike Shope, afternoons on WGR in Buffalo and Odyssey Station throughout the football season. You hear myself on Thursday, Sam on Fridays on their terrific show. Thank you so much, Mike. We're going to circle back to those college football matchups coming up this weekend next. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
Where's the room?
You know it's happening. Mentally, you're never prepared for that open of Where's the Room. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Fanianovich, 20 minutes from your lightning bets on this Thursday. We got some college football action going down tonight. Appreciate Mike Shope, WGR, for hopping on the show. Where's the Room? What are we going to go over? College football. The game's going down tonight. We have some intel that we want to share there, so we bring in our executive producer, Paul Aspen, to do just that. What do you have, Paul?
So, as Sam and I were kind of talking about these college football contests that we're in, you got to get to 7 picks, so maybe fading the room could land your picks like 5, 6, 7, perhaps. Could be a direction I'm looking to go. So we'll start at the bottom. The game you guys mentioned, I believe briefly, maybe it was in a break, Wisconsin minus 17.5 at home.
Could be a lot of fading the MAC. I have a feeling I haven't seen these bets yet because I always try and be surprised. I'm going to guess we're going to see a lot of bets against the MAC, especially when the MAC takes on schools like Wisconsin, Rutgers. You know, I feel like this is not the first MAC fade on this list. Without seeing the list, I imagine there's going to be a lot of anti-MAC.
That's interesting. Go ahead, Paul, because that number four, you're in the team photo, but the opposite direction, right?
Oh. Some pro-MAC. Yeah. Buffalo. I guess we could have got Mike Shope's take on this, but Buffalo plus 17.5 facing the Gophers.
The funny thing is, and Sam, I know you listen to them, as do I, because we've known them a while, and they do a very good show. I've never heard them talk about Buffalo.
Never.
Have you? Ever. Never. Like Sabres? Yes. Bills? A ton. 95% of the content. Never, ever. Even when they're playing like a primetime game, they are never talking about Buffalo football.
I had asked them because there was a week. I mean, there's plenty of weeks to discuss games. So from September to December, we would talk about the games every Friday. And I had asked one of the weeks I liked Buffalo. So I had volleyed that out there just to kind of gauge the temperature of the room. And they both went, meh. No thoughts on Buffalo Bulls football. None.
Yeah, I thought that stood out to me in the past, too. That was interesting. Okay, so they're taking the 17.5. But we don't have a ton of games to choose from. Let's get to the top three.
Shout out Khalil Mack. Tiebreaker for the pro-MAC, anti-MAC conversation. Rutgers, minus 14.5. We're an anti-MAC show. Anti-MAC room.
There it is. You knew there was another one coming. So they're betting against Ohio. Here's my issue with that game. What's the number that the room is laying, Paul? Is it like 15, 15.5?
No, 14.5. Okay. So that number's gone.
This opened in the summer at 10.5. Now, 10.5 probably wasn't a good number, given the fact that it's moved 5 points. But if you are laying Rutgers right now, you are laying either 15.5 or 16. I don't advise people to be on the worst side of a 5.5 point move.
Yep. And that gets us to the two games that are going to be bet the most tonight. Like, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. What do we have here with these top two most popular plays by ticket count?
I mean, Nebraska's got to be up there.
Nebraska is number two, minus 6.5. So that is number two. And Boise is minus 5.5 is number one. My question on this one, I wonder if this – is it Boise minus 5.5 that's the most – I guess most bet tickets?
No, well, it came down.
The move all the way down? Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of that was today, right? Because it started to creep back up. I mean, it's been at five. Yeah. This has been the most common number, right, for this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's 5.5 everywhere right now. South Point has a 6. I don't think Chris is up yet. So, 5.5 at basically every shop. But there's Sharp guys destroyed these numbers over 7. Anything north of 7 got wiped off the board. And then after the 7s went away, because this was like 9, 9.5 in the summer, got to 7 and then blew through 7. So this has moved 4 points as well. I don't hate the fundamental idea of buying low on the favorite. We also saw that earlier this week with Toledo. So Toledo got bet from 11.5 to 7.5. And then you saw Respected Play bet Kentucky, 7.5 to 8.5, 9. So I fundamentally don't disagree with it. I would not be betting USF at plus 5.5. But now that the room is deciding to plant a flag in Boise State, I may be in a pretzel on this one. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I have to do anything. But I didn't expect Boise State to be the number one bet.
I like USF a lot.
You're going to be
on USF. Does the room know?
You're in a pretzel. Come on, you're going to be on USF.
Does the room know that Ashton Gentry isn't there anymore?
I don't 50-50. Oh, you think that they got used to betting Gentry last year? They remember them in the playoff, and they're just comfortable with that, even though they may not be thinking that he's a Raider.
Blue turf. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Game is in South Florida, people. All right. Yeah. So are we betting South Florida then?
I mean, I've had them written down for a couple of weeks. I just haven't pulled the trigger, and now I've completely lost the numbers. I'm kind of where you are, Sam. Like, it's never Boise, but for me at least, maybe have to.
So I said earlier in the show, and I think I said this yesterday, I don't want to take 5.5 when I could have taken 7. But when I hear that the room is lining up to bet Boise State, I want to bet the money line. Now I just want to bet USF outright, Joe.
Oh, wow. Wow, I don't mind that at all. I understand. I mean, this is where you were in the beginning, both of you guys. So I get it. What is Gentry worth? That's the interesting conversation. What do we think he's worth as we've seen this move down? And now, okay, we got to our stop point. But I think that's kind of where we're kind of stuck. People don't. Do you really know what he's worth?
I don't know how to quantify an elite running back. And it's not – he's worth more because he's not at a power school. Like, if the number one back at Georgia goes down, oh, let's just bring in another blue-chip recruit. And it's also, like, guys aren't going to dominate, for the most part, against SEC defenses. So I think that might not sound right when I say it, but a star running back at a mid-major school is way more valuable than the top running back in the SEC, because the drop-off from Gentry to the next guy is massive. In the NFL, they'll tell you I just had a brain cramp there. In the NFL, they'll tell you an elite running back is worth 2 points. At Boise State, an elite running back could be worth 5.
Right.
So this actually ties into one of these conference futures that I've placed, which is San Jose State in the Mountain West at 10-1. Like, I could tell you, like, look, they missed Boise and UNLV during the regular season. Pretty good path to the championship. So they get there. Like, obviously, Boise State is an odds-on favorite in the conference. This team, San Jose State, played Boise State pretty tough last year. They're up 14-0 on them in the first quarter. Boise State scored twice in the last 6 minutes of the second half, of the second quarter, tied at the half. San Jose State goes back up, and then they keep turning the ball over. Boise State wins behind over 150 plus from Gentry and 3 touchdowns. Like, if that dude's not on the field, San Jose State probably wins that game. They have a lot of continuity on both sides of the ball, coming back along with the quarterback. And, Joe, I don't have to tell you about Ken Niumatalolo. Like, he can put a program like that against teams like Notre Dame and Navy. We saw it all the time. He made them sweat all the time. He beat them a couple of times. So he's a good head coach as well. I mean, so those are some of the points on San Jose State as a Mountain West flyer at 10-1. But then, like, yeah, when you think about, they were neck and neck with that team without Genty. So, like, how does that, with Genty, a lot of continuity for both teams coming back, but without Genty, maybe it opens up a little bit. And Boise's kind of like, everyone is still on Boise to win the Mountain West. And people we respect, too.
Wow. That's a good idea. I like it. You would think it's going to be wide open. That makes sense. That's something that you've got to probably bet right now, right? Like, if Boise loses to South Florida, that market's going to flip, and you're going to lose those numbers on everybody not named Boise.
Even non-con? Just because they look vulnerable?
Yeah, because they're like, oh, this is what it looks like without Genty. If they go on the road and lose as nearly a touchdown favorite, yeah. I know record-wise it won't change, but people will react to that.
So, as sick as I am right now, I am trying to find the ability on BetMGM. By the way, BetMGM just put up the FCS games. So, they're starting to put those through. And you can take that Stony Brook side if you'd like right now at BetMGM, 19.5. I'm trying to now, since Paul brought it up, do a little San Jose State to win the conference, Alabama to win the conference, and see what my payout is there. I'll get back to you. Give me like 30 seconds. I'll figure this out.
As you're doing that, I'll throw two others. I think San Jose State, which is the one I got to last, actually, but that's probably, if I was power ranking these, that's probably my number one. Georgia Southern in the Sun Belt at plus 900 is another. Clay Helton is fourth year. Told Phil Steele this is his best offense since he's been there. Returning quarterback, a lot of experience on the offensive line. They're on the road at JMU. That's the conference favorite. And at Appy State, so that's kind of tough as far as path goes. I do think we have to be a Georgia Southern show, though, because one of the best corners in the league is on their team, and his name is Chance Gamble. So I think we have to be a Georgia Southern show.
I'm in. Say less.
And then one other one I got down on Louisiana Tech and Conference USA at plus 1,000. Big time positive regression candidate. They lost three games in overtime last year. Since 2022, they're 4-12 in one score games. So maybe that's a bad head coach issue, but could be pointing towards regression as well. They get the two top contenders in the Conference USA at home, Liberty, Western Kentucky. A lot of experience on offense with Evan Bullock at quarterback, strong running back room. D-line looks like the biggest question mark. Put some strong pieces in this linebacking in the secondary. Played NC State and Arkansas last year. They lost both, but they covered both. So they can play with the big boys a little bit. But in Conference USA, went down the board a little bit and took Louisiana Tech at 10-1.
All right. Stayed away from the Power Four conferences. That's why I was chuckling. I find that funny. I mean, that's what you do. You do the same thing in basketball as well.
Yeah.
Circling back to a couple of these Saturday matchups, Sam, you were just talking about Bama. You picked them yesterday. You were talking about why they're going to win the SEC. You like that number at 5-1. They're a 14-point favorite on the road at Florida State. Both teams coming off disappointing years. I mean, the Noles, it got to a point where it was embarrassing. 2-10 on the year. And we know everything that DeBoer went through. Is Bama just going to destroy them? Like, it goes from 12.5 to 14. The more and more I look at it, that's kind of what I'm feeling. Like, they are back with Grubb, all this pressure coming into this first game, and it just feels like they're going to throttle Florida State. Are you there on that game?
Did not bet it. Probably won't. I have a lower number, though, than the market, and that makes me a little nervous. Maybe my number is just a little bit off. But my tally on the game is Alabama 11.5. So I think I'm just a little too low on Bama, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm just believing that Florida State can't possibly be as bad as it was last year. I mean, there's probably a little bit of truth to that. But I did not, even at 14, like I was like, I don't want to take 13.5. I'd love a big number. I'd love a 7, a 14, a 21. Even when you dangle that 14 in front of my face, I haven't bet it. So if my numbers say 11.5, and you're going to give me 14, and I'm still not there, the truth is inside that. You know, like I just don't, I don't find myself betting against Bama in this spot.
Yeah, and they're not going to bet Florida State coming off of last year. And now you get the opponent of Bama, that household brand. Yeah, they're not going to bet that. I keep coming back to Notre Dame. Should they be 2.5-point favorites on the road with a freshman quarterback? And I know everyone around the quarterback is coming back. They shouldn't be. They should not be 2.5-point favorites. But people remember them going to the title game.
They lost Harrison, Watts, Kaiser, Riley Mills. I mean, those are all massive losses on defense.
I know. And people will say they'll reload and look how high they are in the recruiting rankings. Fair, but a lot of changes. And the biggest change at quarterback, and you're throwing a freshman out there, wasn't great the entire spring. So we'll talk more about that coming up. Lightning Bets next. This is the BetMGM Network. Lightning Bets coming up in just a couple of moments. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, thanks for hanging out. What is this, a Thursday already? I've lost track of days. It's our first full week that we've had in quite some time. Next week will not be a full week with, of course, Labor Day, but we've got college football action tonight. And also, of course, MLB action, just like every day. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this parlay boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. So check it all out over at BetMGM. So we didn't have time to address it during our segment with Shope, but we asked, because you love asking the fantasy guys, all right, how many drafts, how many leagues? Because I don't know how they keep up with it. And many will say, well, there's best ball, meaning you draft these best ball teams and then you don't touch it the rest of the year. So there isn't that upkeep, but I don't know how they do it. What was the response when you asked Shope how many drafts he's done?
300.
Like, and I'm trying to like, how does that happen? How do you do that? You didn't start a year ago where you're doing like almost one a day. So especially over the last couple of months, you have this pace where you're doing how many drafts per day? It's amazing. Unless you just kind of hang around for the first few rounds, then you let it auto draft based on your rankings after that. I don't know.
I am not looking to add any more fantasy leagues. If anything, I've tried to cut down. I used to be about four, and then last year I had it down to three. And then the guy running the league, this is like a way back league that we've been doing for 10 years. Well, the guy running the league and the guy who came in second last year, they're very close friends. Blew up. You're rigging this. You're cheating me. So these guys aren't even friends anymore. So that league is gone, which is sad, but I'm also happy that I don't have to monitor a third team anymore. So I'm down to two. And honestly, I could do without one of those two. If I could get down to just one fantasy league, that would be great. You and I have friends or people that we know, maybe not friends, maybe people we know that like to write 8 mock drafts around the NFL draft. And then they're able to, oh, well, in 3.0, I had that. And in 5.0, I had that. No. Same people that fill out 5 brackets every March. No, I do one mock draft or one bracket. I would love to get to one fantasy league. I just don't think it's going to happen this year.
The amount of enemies that you have is endless. Like when you have a lead up like you just had there, like with your half smile, knowing you're just going to bust toss somebody in a split second. Like there's a moment in time where like all these names, these faces, go through my brain. I'm like, I wonder who he's going to attack right now. I did. I did not know it was going to be the people that do 18 mock drafts.
I don't like those people. I don't like, especially when you give me a new mock draft every 3 days. And you start.
What about a Bears mock draft? What about an eight-round Bears?
April? No, we don't need. We don't need eight mock drafts. We don't need eight versions of your mock draft. Believe it or not. Don't get me started on wedding photos either, Joe. I'm in a good mood right now.
That happened on Monday, and. Well, besides the fact, if you're going to do a mock draft on a specific team, well, don't you have to do the entire NFL draft? Because what if that second round, third round, well, there's chances these guys aren't even there. No, they're there. They're there in my mock draft. I'm only going to pick for this specific team.
I love too when it's like, oh, in my fifth mock draft, I made a huge trade at the top of the draft. Stop.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. It's probably not going to happen either.
Of course not, but it's all about clicks. More drafts, more mocks, more clicks. Shope did say that Davis Maddock, who I've never talked to, I know who he is. I guess they share a lot of notes together on fantasy. So if you think 300 is high on Mike Shope fantasy entries, Shope said Davis Maddock has over 3,000.
Like, how many? That does not sound enjoyable to me at all, which is why I quit all my fantasy leagues. It was at 4 or 5 in that range that you were talking about. I'm like, this has become a chore and I don't like it anymore. So I just like, I'm done. I'm out. I'd rather just do props and stuff like that, or do DFS, do it when I have time, when I feel like it, instead of being tied into it. But it's funny. The more and more people I talk to, they're like, yeah, I'm dying to get out of this league, but you know, these idiots from high school, I've been doing it for 20 years. It's like nobody's left. I want to leave, but how do I do it? I bet you there's a lot of people in the same kind of vein where it's like a, you know, breakup with a long-term maybe girlfriend or whatever, where people are dying to get out, but they don't want to be the one.
Our high school league died 10 years ago because guys just stopped filling out their lineups. So that was an easy wipeout. I only have the two, though. And the one draft is tonight. I think I pick fifth or sixth. It'll be fun. I'll manage it. But I've whittled that fantasy list down. I mean, it used to be four. And then I've gotten it down to two. And if the other one drops out, I will not shed a tear.
Yeah, so I was asking Shope about some fantasy drafts. Like, if I'm going to do one, let's make it worth everybody's while. And he told me, yeah, he's like, there's this FFPC site that I'm really into. I'm looking at it. They got tournaments that have $1 million payouts. I'm like, ooh, all right, do I jump in here?
That's the caveat. He's not in 300 fantasy leagues with, like, other people. He's doing fantasy contests, and it's a little bit different. I mean, the line in the sand has moved. It used to be you had to be in a league with your friends or your coworkers. Now you can do it on the internet with strangers, and that's been the big elevation of the fantasy platform.
Yep, for sure. All right, lightning bets for today. Sam, is USF making the card?
No, I don't want to do that. I'll probably bet it though. By myself, but for the show purposes, I will not be giving out the worst of the number on USF. I will reiterate what I said earlier, though. Vegas Rick and the guys, they like Stony Brook tonight, plus 19 and a half. You can only hear this on Bet Sweats. You cannot hear this on any other show. Stony Brook, plus 19 and a half. They're at San Diego State late tonight.
19 and a half everywhere. Everywhere now. So we still have not had that move on Stony Brook. All right, I'm gonna have to get roped into that one. All right, so who are we giving the credit to when Texas Ohio State goes over the total of 47 and a half? Because you've now convinced me, but you're saying that you were convinced by Felder. Like, whose bet is this?
I just jumped in with Felder. I was thinking over because, you know, every meeting I've been on in the last 2 weeks and every piece of content that I've consumed is under in the game. I'm not even talking wise guys. I'm talking wise guys, square guys, content people. It's all under. Everything's under. Mm-hmm. Nobody's betting the over in this game, or at least hasn't yet. Wink, wink. 47.5 is a good number. It's a good buy point.
Yep. All right. Well, I asked that question because I'm probably jumping in on it. No, I'm not probably. I am. I'm betting Texas, Ohio State. It makes too much sense what you're saying with all the high-powered offensive talent that you're going to have on the field in that game. Looking forward to that one. One of the two teams that we previewed today, we did Ravens and we did Bills. And the one season-long prop that I kept coming back to, James Cook, under 8.5 rushing touchdowns. What tipped it in for me is when Mike Shope was talking about his snap count, how it was less than 50%. And yes, he was due to have a blow-up season when it comes to rushing touchdowns because it went 2. And then it went 2 again, and it just wasn't making sense in as part of this great offense. And it wasn't he's the bell cow. Yes, the back that's out there the most, but he's not even out there half the time. Gets the contract. That number's going to come down. He's been super healthy in his first 3 years. Not saying he's going to get injured, but it's still football. A little regression there. Under 8.5 rushing touchdowns for James Cook this season. Let's go to Paul and Jake. Paul first. What you got?
So I'll just repeat the San Jose State Mountain West bet. I believe best number might be plus 900 or plus 950 at this point. But it's still a buy point for me on both of those. Just think it's they have a pretty good path to the championship game. And then you got to get through Boise. So we'll see. And then one, going to wheel two Georgia teams together this weekend. Georgia Tech, money line out at Colorado. Some turnover there, obviously. A lot of talent leaving. So that is minus 190 tied to Georgia Southern at Fresno State. That line has flipped from Georgia Southern +2.5 to Georgia Southern -1.5. So Fresno a dog in their home opener after getting trucked by Kansas. So tie those two together, Georgia Tech, Georgia Southern money lines. That is plus 165.
And I did look this up quickly. Mm-hmm. San Jose State, Alabama. You can't do it at MGM. One book is giving you 42-1. Another book is giving you 56-1. That's Bama to win the conference and San Jose State to win the conference.
All right, Jake, you get away day. About half the teams in play today. What are you thinking?
Still have home runs that I want to wheel with awards. So still going to do that. Roman Anthony, I can't believe they're still lining at better than 4-1. He's been unbelievable lately. And Cade Povich is definitely a pitcher that exists, no doubt about that. I also like Christian Walker today. He's been on fire, 3 home runs in his last 6 games. And the Astros fixed Carlos Correa. Kyle Freeland stinks. I'm going to go with Correa as well. I'm going to put all of those with CMC. You could get 69-1, nice, 88-1 for Correa and Roman Anthony. Let's rock.
We're still doing 69, nice.
Right there, it's a bit still at this point. That.
Yes,
it's a bit that becomes unironically part of your life.
Thank you, Jake. Tomorrow we react to everything tonight in college football. We'll preview the weekend. Make sure that you're with us as well right here. Bet Sweats, 9 a.m. Eastern on the network.